Kapla! We are live, and it looks like things are working. Woo-hoo.
Good to know. Welcome to another episode of All Things Trek. I am Grace, and with me, of course, is David.
Kapla!
Hi, David. Or Kapla,
good morning.
That works too.
Good afternoon, good night, wherever you're at.
All right, as those of you with a calendar know, today is our last episode of All Things Trek of the year, before we segue into 2014. Hard to feel we're that far into the teens already, and it feels like the future already, doesn't it? Pretty cool,
well,
right?
I know. Yeah. And this year just seemed to almost fly by, but today is also another special day.
That's right. Today is the birthday of Star Trek lady Nichelle Nichols, who, if you don't know who she is, I feel sorry for you. And also, what are you doing on this website? Are you lost? But anyway, yeah. She is a charming lady, a beautiful lady, and also a wonderful person and an icon of intersectionality in science fiction, being a woman and an African-American in sci-fi in the 60s. Really meant a lot to a lot of people. And I think the world is a better place for having her been on the show. So yeah, happy birthday! One second. That was a celebratory horn. Aren't you glad I made you all listen to that?
Yep, definitely. And she's also like a very vocal, very high profile advocate for NASA and for space. So that's just very cool too, getting women and girls interested in science and space and pushing forward
and encouraging
to the
interest,
final frontier.
Yeah. It's good stuff. It really is. Now, we're coming up on New Year's here, and while I hope everyone here had a happy holidays, we are closing out the holiday season, which is always a little sad. So today we're going to take a minute to think about something that we probably haven't taken a lot to think about before, and that is holidays of the future. Spooky music. Holidays of the future. Holidays we have seen in Star Trek, and holidays we would like to see in the future of Star Trek. We're starting out with an episode from the original series. It's the Red Hour from The Return of the Archons. Do you remember that episode, David?
I think so.
I can refresh your memory if you like. For those of you listening who don't remember, it is the episode where Kirk and Co. beam down to a planet to find out that everyone there is very, very repressed and very, very happy and everything is fine until Red Hour hits, where everyone just goes completely crazy, starts going at it like monkeys, throwing things through windows, and just lots of crazy violence and recklessness. And it happens once a year, which kind of makes a holiday, doesn't it? I mean, a holiday is, in fact, and is an annual event that's nationally recognized, so holiday. Of course, it turns out that the holiday, such as it is a construction of the evil machine who's running the whole planet, Landru. So when you think about it, does this mean that Landru is just throwing an annual holiday for himself? He's putting it together.
Make the people go crazy holiday.
They're
kind of like doing rioting. There's implications. They didn't mention it, but there was almost the idea that there might be like rape gangs or something
because his
daughter, like the governor or the mayor, somebody like high up in the official of the town, his daughter was out there.
This guy, and then she comes back and she's all crying about how awful it was. So
right,
I guess and you can't really
Kirk
say
is like
that.
Your daughter is out there. Aren't you going to... And he's like, it's
the
Red Hour.
It was Landru. They all have the best frightened voices on that episode. It's just all very... Whoa, fun stuff, right? You know, rape gangs and destruction and stuff. But
setting things on fire.
The only really logic for the whole thing is that they have, like, this whole year being really repressed, and Landru just kind of said, well, they're all kind of unhappy on the inside, so I guess I'll give them, like, this Red Hour, which everyone can go crazy during. Yeah, that's good, right? 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 Or it's just a time every year where Landru's like, I'm going to play with my toys and make them do crazy stuff. It's a special day for me to be evil with people's lives.
Well, and it seemed like everybody would survive it. I don't remember it really being that people are going to die. It's just, you know, go crazy hour. So
yeah. The weird thing that the thing that weirded me out about it, though, is that afterwards everyone just kind of gets up, you know, straightens their clothes up and just walks away like nothing happened. like, oh, well, that sure didn't happen, or they don't remember it, or what. Except we've got the guy in charge's daughter, I think her name was, like, Tula or something, just kind of freaking out afterwards, like, oh, God, it was awful! And they're like, they're there, it's only once a year! So I was like, do most of them not remember it, or do they just pretend they don't remember it? Do they kind of try and purge it from their memory? That's the part that kind of confuses me about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's probably gone on so long, they're like, oh, here we go again. You know, hopefully I
can. Not great. Red hour. The red hour is upon us.
And didn't some of them, like, everybody tried to get indoors to get inside so they would, yeah, you know, not be caught outside? Because if you're caught outside, you know,
I had a protective rooms and stuff to people.
Anything goes. That was the phrase I was looking for. Like, you know, you might have to, you know, overturn a car, set it on fire, break windows, you know, get rapey, you know, it's like, get inside or else.
It's the time of year where everyone completely lets their yah-yahs out in a crazy way. And it's kind of weird because, did you hear about the movie The Purge that came out this past year? That really reminds me of this episode
vaguely.
A lot. Like, the one where society is perfect, everyone in America is happy, except one night a year where people are allowed to commit any crime and not get in trouble for it.
That kind of
reminded me of this episode a lot.
I guess they watched some Star Trek and then wrote a movie.
Wait, are you saying that Star Trek had an influence on people writing modern science fiction and horror? I find that a little far-fetched.
Yeah, probably not.
Who knows? So not really much more to say about that episode other than the fact that it's kind of weird and inconsistent, but it's still a pretty fun episode, and I love a good dystopia, so it's a personal favorite of mine. Also, fun fact, it has Sid Haig as one of the enforcers in it. You might know him from movies like The Devil's Rejects and just about every blaxploitation movie from the 70s. So it's funny that he kind of is in there, too. Kind of an intersectionality of counterculture stuff right there. Right? Right? Fun stuff.
Yep.
So moving along, probably a more consistent holiday, such as it is that we've heard of, is First Contact Day. And we only really see it celebrated on Voyager, but I kind of think of TNG when I think of it, because, you know, First Contact kind of belongs to the TNG crew. Now, if you were going to celebrate First Contact in your own way, how would you do it? I mean, we see them do it on Voyager with, like, eating Zefram Cochrane's favorite food and listening to rock music and stuff. If you were on, like, a national level of celebrating First Contact Day, how do you think we'd go about doing it? Like, aside from, like, letting kids skip school and having the banks closed and stuff like that.
Drink lots of tequila.
Wear funny mismatched hats.
They probably have retrospectives. shoot ourselves into space on rickety rockets, but...
Have a lady who tells us to get our butts in gear.
Yep, watch your caboose. Oh, wait, that was to the other. Janeway, I think, mentions that she grew up, she remembers growing up, getting out of school on First Contact Day. So there would probably be, like, you know, historical retrospectives on the television or the Federation Information Net.
Yeah, there'd People be, like, might, a First Contact Day annual TV special. It'd be like one of those Ken Burns NPR specials, like, that old Zefram Cochrane was certainly an odd man, but he was an odd man who changed the world. And
don't
I think
try to
First
be a
Contact,
great man, just be a man. And I forget the quote, but yeah.
That's about right. if you want to actually celebrate First Contact Day on your own, you can look up the date on Memory Alpha. It's the 27th of something, but the month is escaping me right now. Anyway, it'd probably be a really cool way in the Star Trek universe to celebrate sort of the union of human and Vulcan culture and how far we've come and stuff like that. So there'd probably
Christopher
be like...
Christopher 13 is saying it's April 5th.
Oh, I completely overshot that then, didn't I?
But that's another aspect of it, though. Aside from, you know... Mm-hmm. Zefram Cochrane being remembered for the first human to go faster than light, the warp travel and all that. But First Contact Day is definitely about first contact with the Vulcans, humans knowing they're not alone in the universe and the galaxy.
Yeah, about,
so yeah, about multicultural,
what have you. And also it would probably be an excuse to talk about, look how far we've come with our friends the Vulcans. We're no longer just going around calling them pointy-eared hobgoblins. That would be absurd.
You're
that would
green
be racist,
blooded, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and, you know, they're not trying to hold us back like they were in Enterprise, and so things have gone a long way, so.
Not nearly as douchey as they were in Enterprise. Or at least we can
I could almost imagine, definitely, you know, a big focus on the Vulcans, because they were the first contact that humanity made with another alien race. But then I could also see, like you said, look how far we've come. There might be, like, historical retrospectives about making first contact with all the other races along, each time. The first time we met the Bajorans, or the first time we met this group or that group. Because, you know,
it
would be like
the history of the Federation in general, since this was the first step towards its formation, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I can imagine it. Maybe some kids, you know, maybe wouldn't care because they wouldn't catch their historical significance until they grew up. They're just
like,
yeah, I don't have to go to school.
Yeah, MLK Day, we get the day off school, whatevs.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Then as time goes on, they're like, oh, this really meant something and, you know, changed everything.
Well, this year I really learned the meaning of First Contact Day, and the world is a better place for it. That was my after-school special voice. It wasn't very good. But yeah,
a very special
cool
episode. Of
This week on a very special Star Trek. Unity. So that would be a cool idea, though, wouldn't it, to be able to see in the future a retrospective of how far we've come and what sort of things would be seen as, you know, silly and outdated. And it'd be cool to get that glimpse into the future, wouldn't it? If I could really see anything in the future, it'd probably be like that. That and the stock market. Let's be real here. There's cash to be made. And I got
They'd be cashing in on all the, like you said, they'd be selling a lot of Zefram Cochrane hats, his little jacket robe thing. Maybe they would have,
His hat is like the Davy Crockett hat of the future. It just becomes a piece of iconography that's ridiculous and silly.
And when you buy the commemorative Zefram Cochrane jacket, coat, it comes with a special real usable flask for your festivities.
Your commemorative, Zefram Cochrane flask, yes.
And,
keep looking at first at all times. Because
I'm sure they'd be
Federation. Patriotism.
Yeah, well, it's your duty to celebrate with the good stuff, but I'm sure they would also sell replicas of his little statue where he's like, you know, got his hand out, extended to the future. And remember how they showed on, like, they mentioned it on The Next Generation when Picard mentioned to O'Brien, like, how O'Brien grew up working on model starship engines, then on the pilot episode. Yeah, and then on Enterprise, we actually see a young Archer playing with the remote control starship. They'd probably sell remote control little miniature versions of the Phoenix. The kids are flying around, and then they crash their Phoenix. And yeah, or maybe the Vulcan shuttle. That's what you'd have to get the set. You'd have to get both the. Did we lose Grace? Wait, what's going on? Why is my Skype looking weird? Nope. Oh, yep. So, are you guys still hearing me? Okay, looks like I'm still going. I'll just keep going until hopefully we get her back. But they'll probably sell the set. You have to get both. The little remote control Phoenix and the little remote controlled flying Vulcan shuttle so that, you know, one kid could fly the Phoenix and then the other kid lands the little Vulcan shuttle remote control toy, and then you have the little action figures that you could, you know, do the first contact and make them shake hands, and then you have some whiskey or some tequila. But so yeah, I would definitely think that First Contact Day would be a big day for Earth, if not for the most of the Federation, and especially Earth, Vulcan, what was it, the Tellarites and the Andorians celebrating. But that may be Federation Day more than just First Contact. So, but it's good. It's cool to know, you know, that they mention it in Voyager, that they all the kids get the day off and it's still being celebrated and remembered. So yeah, I would hope. I do hope that at some point in the future, in our reality, if or when we make first contact, I hope it goes well and you know, is a good thing and is celebrated with a special commemorative day. Like, we get President's Day, we get, you know, not just religious holidays or, you know, Halloween, Thanksgiving, but, you know, days like Martin Luther King Day, Veterans Day, you know, those type of holidays. So it would, I thought it was Janeway, but in the Voyager episode, one of them mentions that, you know, they remembered always getting the day off from school. I thought I'd have to look that up though, or watch the episode again, but that's what I thought I remembered is that, and I thought it was Janeway. It could have been one of the others saying, you know, they always enjoyed or remembered getting the day off from school, but maybe we'd have to check on that. But, unfortunately it looks like our connection with Grace has dropped, so I'm going to do a quick song break, and then we'll come back if we get Grace back, so stay tuned. And we are in the final days of 2013, which is the 20th anniversary of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, so we're going to listen to this theme real quick, and then we'll be right back.
Sir, I can't get through to anybody! Communications are down!
They're jamming your signal by generating a rotating EM pulse.
Can you clear it?
I'm trying.
Sir, we just lost the SeaTac and the Majestic. We're on our own.
Comms back online.
Four enemy ships.
And we're back, and she is victorious.
I live! But I was continuing what we were talking about, various ways in which we could celebrate First Contacts Day. I think I've got the best way, and it could even be tequila fueled. Are you familiar with Snoop Dogg?
Ooh,
Snoop
yeah.
Snoop Dogg. A wonderful tradition sponsored by the company that makes Red Bull, wherein you make your own small air and sea craft and launch it off the hyphing, a thing, that's the technical term, and into the water to see if you can actually propel it forward and stay afloat. I think that'd be a pretty good way to celebrate reaching warp capability, and it'd also be a pretty good excuse to drink more tequila, am I right?
Yep, and then, you know, splash into water and try not to drown, but that would be fun. You would see a lot of the Phoenix ships. You might see some people making the cardboard Vulcan shuttle, that weird-looking Vulcan shuttle.
And then, afterwards, it would be a really great way to celebrate all of the advances made in human medical technology through the help of the Vulcans.
Yep.
You'd
yeah, that would be fun.
Emergency Vulcans on standby to celebrate and everything. It would be cute. It'd be fun. So, moving...
I want to see that now. I want to see the Flugtog, or however you say it, with Starship. Star Trek
Flugtog.
Ships.
Star Trek Flugtag. Moving along from a semi-serious holiday to a less easy-to-take-seriously holiday, Picard Day. You all know you want to celebrate it. It's not even that big
model.
Of a holiday in the Star Trek universe, but it is to the Star Trek fans, I think. And you gotta wonder if it reaches the point where Captain Picard has done so much stuff that it becomes like a galaxy-wide thing.
Well, galaxy class wide. It's definitely a big thing on the Enterprise D, and you think they would probably carry it over to the Enterprise E. There's less family and children. It was for the children's, but I think Picard.
I think
and
they
crew,
keep it. They keep it going just to annoy Picard, and then it would pick up more speed as he did more like important things for the Federation, and then it would become an actual holiday, like legitimately, like celebrating President's Day or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we do have
King
Day.
We've got George Washington Carver Day. We can have Captain Picard Day.
Yep.
People can, like, shave their heads to celebrate.
Oh, well, some people would go hardcore for it and shave their head or most of their head, but you'd have people with the really bad bald caps that have the white hair around the sides.
It'd be like traditional Picard Day headgear. It'd be like wearing funny hats on Abraham Lincoln's birthday. But it also makes me wonder what other figures would we be celebrating? Would they be celebrating it? in the future if they had Federation holidays.
Well, would there be
First Contact Day? Do you think there'd be like a Kirk Day and an Archer Day?
Yeah, Captain Kirk Day, Kirk Day, and then you know everybody fights with Kirk Fu and you know has
everyone speaks an iambic pentameter really sloppily. But all part of the Kirk Day spirit. I mean, I think we kind of established on Deep Space Nine that there's an emissary day, so Sisko gets a holiday. It's only fair that the other captains do, right?
Yeah, well, especially
involved just getting lost somewhere,
and then getting promoted for some reason. I don't know.
For finding your way back. Yeah.
You found us. Okay.
She does kind of have that whole Ernest Shackleton thing going on. Like, she gets lost with all these people, but she leads them back home with minimal losses.
Yeah.
Kind of and, think that, why don't we have an Ernest Shackleton day? That'd be boss.
Yeah. Well, all these captains, you know, they have saved, if not the universe or the galaxy, at least a planet, maybe Earth. So I think they should get some recognition.
Aside from, you know, main character status.
Right.
But that also leads me to wonder, would there, like I said, if we've got Janeway Day, Kirk Day, Picard Day, Sisko Day, would there be Archer Day, and how the hell would we celebrate that?
Yeah. I don't know.
By being delightfully ironic and just being jerks to Vulcans?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, it would undo all of the wonderful things we celebrate on, First Contact Day.
And then you go through tiny wormholes or black holes with a holographic companion. Oh, wait, that's the... never mind.
But which non-captain characters do you think would earn a holiday or something?
Yeah. Well, because I think it would come down to they did a great deed or performed a great service. And so I'm trying to think back, like... would they give a Montgomery Scott Day, the miracle worker? Like, would we get a Scotty Day for all the times he helped save the day? And
if not as a national holiday, then probably all of the techies would celebrate it. I mean, there'd probably be a Spock Day for all his ambassadorial and aid work that he did. And plus, he gets like lost in space, and everyone assumes he's kind of dead after that. So it'd be like, what happened to Spock Memorial Day? Like we get with Amelia Earhart.
Yeah. In the Prime Universe, they consider him, you know, missing in action lost. So I think they could do a Spock Day, commemorate and remember Spock.
Mm-hmm. We've got a suggestion in the chat room that there should be a Dr. Zimmerman Day.
Oh, that could work.
Oh, really? Like, I could say that. Again, how would we celebrate these holidays? I mean, with Spock Day, there'd probably be, like, lots of Vulcan lyre playing and such.
Playing 3D chess.
Yeah. Although, of course, I'm guessing Sulu got a holiday, because every day's a holiday with Sulu.
It's a be-fabulous day, and everybody runs around with a fencing foil.
Yeah, you just run around San Francisco shirtless.
Drinking tea, you know, from your teacup.
Trying to seduce airline pilots and people with helicopters. Come to think of it, that's just kind of San Francisco in general, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, every day is a holiday for Sulu. Oh, Sulu Day. Oh, Sulu Day.
We had an episode called Data's Day. I don't know if
that would actually become a
holiday.
Data does do a lot for human-android relations, so maybe. I could see that. Everyone would just hang out in the holodeck and, you know, pretend to be Sherlock Holmes and play violin and be delightful and tell bad jokes.
And sing Irving Berlin.
Oh, Lord.
Gilbert and Sullivan.
Dance awkwardly with creepy songs. I'd celebrate Day to Day, I gotta admit. But then again, with the level of awkwardness that you need to portray to actually, you know, pay full tribute to Day to Day, I'm kind of doing that already. Yes, and we're pointing out in the chat room that it really should be a Dr. Noonien Sin at Dr. Noonien and Singh Day, since he was Data's creator. But then again, would people be also up for celebrating the guy who created Lore, who, like, tried to take advantage of the Borg and all that? B4, who was just annoying. It's kind of a mixed bag with celebrating him, even though he did do a lot for robotics.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe more people would celebrate Data more than some of the others. And on Data Day, you cannot use contractions.
Yeah. Can we make this a thing?
I think it should be. Well, here's the other thing. I kind of didn't remember the whole thing about it, but it was Garrett Wong's birthday, I think December 15th.
Did he have Harry Kim Day?
It was like on December 12th where everybody was saying Happy Harry Kim Day. And I was like, why are people saying Harry Kim Day? And it turns out that somehow there was a Tom Paris Day. and then Garrett was like, well, there should be a Harry Kim Day. And that
sure,
kind of,
not?
You know, the fans went with it. So does anybody remember what was the deal with Tom Paris Day? Was that I'm sure that was only on Voyager.
Not like a national. Paris Day also. Would you hook up with Klingons and be smarmy?
And then get kicked out of school?
And then
call
get
everybody
sent to
ma'am?
You celebrate by going to a labor camp for a while, I guess.
Yeah.
Whereas call everybody. Harry Kim Day, you would celebrate it with the ritual losing of your clarinet.
On Harry Kim Day, we all stand around taking up space and then we die. Well, he yeah, okay. I don't know. So
on Harry Kim Day, it's all of us' national responsibility to just sit there and look pretty.
Yep. And not get promoted. I think if we had a Worf Day, it would be celebrated by making suggestions and then getting rejected and shot down. Like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because you know,
and doing shots
Worf
of green juice.
Yep. And then
and
the thing I liked
our
about
children.
Oh yeah, sending them away. And the thing I liked about Captain Picard Day is the kid. It was crafty. Remember, all the kids made Captain Picard dolls and pictures. And
that's why I really like to think that there would be other characters in Star Trek who would get holidays too. That would enable children to make crappy craft projects.
And then you have to like, oh, this is nice, Billy. Yeah. And it's,
that
you know,
really
crappy.
Does look like Captain Janeway. That's so nice. Yes, Worf did like prune juice. Just stuff like that. Like someone would macrame a giant head of Harry Kim or something. Oh, wow.
Brad or Ids in the chat said, Worf Day, you spend all day getting your ass kicked by literally every race or villain in the Star Trek verse. Well, that was because he was the measuring stick, that he was so big and tough and strong. But, oh, wait, this alien can beat up Worf. That means they're really strong. So
yeah,
they
he's
can
the measure of just
Worf.
How tough any given group is that week.
Right. So he's like the yardstick measuring.
Take a beating in the name of Worf Day.
Remember there was that one episode where it was like a little old lady and she's threatening Worf and then she turns into this big giant hairy monster bear alien thing? It's like, uh-oh.
Because even an old lady can beat up Worf in the name of Worfness. But moving along, we've also got Peldor Gratitude Festival, which we saw celebrated by the Bajorans on Deep Space Nine. And this one always interested me because it's actually the most well-rounded sort of fictional holiday that we see on Star Trek.
Peldor Joy.
Peldor Joy, yeah. Even though we do see it, I think there are four different episodes where it features in, according to Memory Alpha, but we get to see different kind of sides of it and we get to see what the point of it is. And it's kind of like, apparently you celebrate by writing down all of your worries and regrets and then burning them and being gracious and happy and celebrating all the good stuff you've got. So it's kind of like a weird Thanksgiving Yom Kippur kind of thing going on. But that actually does sound like it could be a holiday, you know?
It did sound like a festival. Like, you know, everybody was happy and celebrating, but it did... It seemed to fit the Bajoran people. Like it didn't seem out of place for that culture, and it did seem like it would be something, because people would celebrate it and do as like a ritual, or you know, not a rite of passage, but like a point that people would, you know, look forward to and then feel better afterwards. And I think there have been other cultures around in our reality where they have like symbolically burned things to represent, you know, cleansing or purging. And then also, you know, incense a lot of times is like sending your thoughts and, you know, prayers and everything on the smoke.
Me about the Bajorans, they have a lot of little things like that that echo different cultures around the world. Like they have it's mentioned that they have a holiday where they fast and show remorse and what have you, kind of like Ramadan, if you will. And I just really enjoyed seeing that you get to see that they drew similarities from Earth culture and applied them to this alien culture without it being, you know, schlocky, and without it feeling like they were sort of, what am I trying to say here? Like they were, without it being obvious, and they took aspects of different Earth cultures to make a new culture. And that's one of the reasons why I liked their whole Peldor Gratitude Festival, the fact that it added to them as a character and it added to our perception of them as a rounded culture. And that's part of why I wished we could have seen more holidays with the other cultures, to just sort of get a better feel for what they're all about. And this is this is actually the holiday that led to the topic for this week. So if you don't like it, blame the Bajorans.
Oh, nice. You know, Vixen in the chat room. And we mentioned similarities. Vixen in the chat room said it mirrors a pagan holiday called Yule, where you would write your worries and dreams on the log and then burn them for a bright future. So, yeah, I mean, also, I remember some Asian cultures use that.
Burn paper to talk to the deceased and to make contact with the other side. I know in Chinese culture they burn fake money to send to their relatives in the afterlife. So there are a lot of similarities there, which is neat. But not in the way where it's like, yes, you are very similar to an old Earth culture that we greatly respect, but in the way that, you know, obnoxious and cloying, stereotypical way. It's
right. Well, and that's why it's weird to me, because I know, I mean, I could kind of get it, but there's some fans that don't like the Bajoran race. They don't like Bajoran characters and just, you know. But I always thought
about them as a race and as characters, but at least they're rounded out and fleshed out as a culture.
And it seemed, you know, authentic, or it seemed real. It didn't seem, you know, too fake or manufactured. And especially this one, it didn't seem like it was about so much of the like religion, like the Bajoran religion about the prophets and all that, but more of like
a non-religious thing.
Right, like a spiritual thing, a cultural thing, more than just like, you know, we have to pray to the prophets type of thing. So I did like this, the idea of this holiday, the Gratitude Festival, and it just showed, you know, they're a real culture would have that. So I thought it was fleshed out in a good way.
And it seems like a fun holiday, unless Luxwana Troy shows up and turns it into an awkward orgy festival. Where everyone hits on each other.
Well, that you could also, you know, be grateful
that
for that, too.
That could be a festival all of its own, really. Makes you really wonder about holidays on Beta Z, doesn't it? We'll get to that later, though. Yeah. Moving along, I also want to talk about a more contrasting holiday that we talk about briefly on Voyager, and that is Klingon Honor Day.
Yeah, I've looked into this. I've had people ask me about it. I think it's a good, you know, thought out holiday. Somewhat similar, but still different than the Gratitude Festival.
It's like you work out your aggressions from the past year and think about your behavior in the past year, but you do it in a very aggressive, very Klingon way. So it is kind of similar, but the context that we see it in is Belana trying to decide whether this is something worth celebrating for her as a means of embracing her Klingon culture, when at the same time it's not really something she entirely believes in, and it just seems stupid to her. And you see that's something that I've seen in multiple mixed racial, mixed religion families where it's hard to sort of pick and choose which parts of your culture really represent you and which parts you identify with. And that's part of why I enjoyed the episode. That, and it also could have just as easily been titled Belana Torres and the No Bad, Really Awful, Terrible Day where I got shot out into space. Yeah.
Well, she it's a good Belana, it was kind of her... It was kind of a running thing with her that she was, like, you know, at odds with her heritage and her, you know, ancestry. And other times she would be like, you know, I don't care. It doesn't, I don't connect to it. I just have no feeling for it. And then other times, you know, they would kind of, you know, show that she, it did still have something to her. Like, because, you know, with her mother, she said I think it was on Barge of the Dead, she said that her mother was, you know, the Klingon mother was all about Klingon culture, but like her and her father didn't really care so much. So, but I do like the idea of the Klingon Honor Day. It's almost like the opposite of, you know, a New Year's resolution where people think I'm going to change for the better and do this next year. It's kind of looking backwards and thinking, how have I been this last year? Have I been honorable?
How honorable have I been? Have I made my family proud? Stuff like that. Just a retrospective day is something that we do see in a lot of cultures, and it's interesting to see that applied to Klingons. And I would like to see more done with it, but it really was an episode about Belana more so than the holiday. The holiday was a catalyst.
Yeah, and we don't really get a whole lot of, like, you know, what about it. But I like it, you know, reflective, and also assessing, like, you know, trying to become a better person by looking at how you've acted and stuff. But there was another one that I don't know if it would be considered a full holiday, but I remember there was another Klingon thing that we see one time in Next Generation, which was the Côte Beauval Festival.
Yeah, one where you see the reenactment of Kaelas's big fight or something, right?
Yeah, it basically, they would be like a carnival, a festival, a big, you know, a lot of... special foods that would be eaten type of thing. So it kind of has a holiday-ish feel, but it was to commemorate Kaelas's victory over the tyrant Molar. And so it was kind of like, it has almost...
Worf tries to take Alexander to it as a bonding thing.
Yeah, to get Alexander... Well, there's, you know, Alexander's future self comes back and all this other stuff, but it was... Worf trying to get Alexander more connected to Klingon culture because Alexander, you know, hasn't really been indoctrinated or infused with that so much. So it's kind of showing, like, you know, Klingon culture, Klingon festivities, and it kind of almost could have a shades of tinges of whatever, like an Independence Day type of thing. Like,
also,
you know,
lots of cultures will have festivals and holidays where they honor, you know, heroes of their culture. We've got Leif Erikson Day, didn't we?
Yeah, and so, you know, I could see, you know, and we hear in the episode that, or it's implied or it's said in the episode that it's celebrated, like, all across the Empire at different Klingon colonies because they're just out, you know,
almost
the Enterprise
like
is just out in space.
It
would almost be like, you know, Mexican Independence Day or the 4th of July or something where even if you're not in the homeland or wherever, you know, the core location, people would still remember it, celebrate it because it's a colony that is, you know, it's not on what we see Worf take Alexander to wasn't on the homeworld. It was on a colony somewhere. So that's just kind of cool. And it would be impactful and significant for the Klingon culture of the day that not just, hey, Kaelas was cool day, but like commemorating the event
specific
of,
day.
You know,
kind of like how Western culture celebrates the birth of Jesus and what have you.
Right, like
sort of. It's a shaky parallel, but it's a parallel.
Well, and also a victory. You know, he defeated the tyrant, so that would be like commemorating that, and then it that day affected the Klingon culture and people from, you know, that day forward. They were no longer oppressed, and so I don't know if that would be a holiday, but it definitely would be a day of remembrance and a day that would be celebrated on that day every year type of thing.
Yeah. It would be a cultural landmark, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so that's cool.
So that's basically the holiday, the established holidays and festivals in Star Trek that we want to talk about. So now's when we get to move on to the good stuff, and that is holidays we would like to see.
Yep.
Yes. And we were talking about how we liked how some of the holidays that we've seen in Star Trek round out the cultures and show us a little more what they're all about, which it really does with, you know, cultures here on Earth. We see these holidays as a way that a culture represents itself and a way that a culture celebrates itself. So we took a few ideas for different holidays here on Earth and how they would apply and how they would fit with other cultures, well, the cultures in Star Trek. So I made a list of a few I'd like to see here, and one that I would really like to see is, going back to the Klingons, Klingon Mother's Day. Because yeah, think about it. The Yo Mama joke is the basis for so much honor and posturing here on Earth. Imagine how they would take that if they were Klingons. So I like to think part of the Mother's Day event on Kronos would be the deflective Yo Mama off, where you have to defend your mother's honor. I would find that really amusing.
Yeah, and here you know, we've seen in the Klingon. Well, we hear about, you know, Klingon aggression, Klingon insults, and, you know, there is a thing in the language and in the lore of it of called curse warfare, where Klingons basically do the, you know, the dozens or the, you know, the back and forth insult where they're drinking and having it, you know, usually in a bar, and they just insult each other back and forth, and you try to get, you know, better and worse than the one before you. And it usually ends up, you know, one gets pissed off and ends up in a fight, but it's supposed to be fun, but, so there's a thing, you know, you gotta have the fine art of Klingon cursing or swearing at each other, yeah. But one of them, it's established
Your
one of the worst.
Seems like a thing that they would really latch on to.
Well, it's been established one of the worst Klingon insults you could say is Chab Soshlit Khuch, which is, your mother has a smooth forehead.
Ooh,
be careful
harsh.
If you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I like this idea because so much of it we see is like a paternal, like, you know, Worf, son of Moog. It's, you know, the lineage is tracked through the father, the eldest son, that whole thing. So I do like the idea of like giving honor and respect to the women, to the mother, you know, and so I think they should balance it out like that. I would love to see a Klingon Mother's Day or, you know.
Yeah. I like to also think that they would have hunting parties on Mother's Day so they could bring... You see a lot of Klingons, like, wearing furs and pelts and stuff. I like the idea of, you know, elderly Klingon women being able to go, oh, yes, my son hunted this for me. It was a birthday gift. Nothing really special, though. You should see what he got me on Mother's Day. It was really something. Whole targ. Yeah, jealous.
Yep.
I love the idea of competitive mothering in Klingon culture. I don't know why.
Well, and we've seen on... I'm trying to remember. I know there's the example of, you know, Martok and his wife when Worf and Jadzia were getting married, but there's been at least one or two other...
She's the one I was thinking of, Martok's wife.
And I'm trying to remember what the name of it was, because...
Mothering in a warrior culture just sounds amazing to me.
Well, there was one of the times when Oren had his mom come on, and she, you know, teaches college courses about Star Trek and women's, you know, studies and stuff. And there was a time where she gave a name to it where it's like a patriarchy, but it's like I think it was a supposed patriarchy or some.
Yeah.
There was a word before it because it meant, like, on paper and in general, like, everything is kind of tracked and
you do see that
family
in a lot
trees
of
are from.
You will
but the women kind
of
control
the
things.
Ruler, but you will refer to the woman in charge.
Right, and so I could definitely see that being part of the Klingon culture is like everything, you know, land deeds and family trees and a lot of stuff tracked through the mail. But as thing like the families are really. You know, the day-to-day real-world aspect of it is kind of controlled or influenced and overseen by the matriarch, the, you know, the mother of the house.
Yeah.
You know,
hail
so.
To the king, but watch the queen rule.
Exactly. So I could definitely see that. So, and I
love the idea that Mother's Day would be kind of all about that.
All about what?
All about that. All about, mom's really the boss around here. That kind of thing.
Yeah,
we know
I think
who's
that,
really in charge.
To me, that really sounds, it fits with the Klingon culture as having a day for the mothers, and probably maybe even could extend also to have a women's day holiday for the wives, the sisters, because the Klingon as a warrior culture and the Klingons, there really isn't the separation or the stigma of women are inferior.
Well, in that case, they probably wouldn't have a women's day, though, because there wouldn't really be a need to if they saw women as equals. They wouldn't be something special to set aside.
That's a good point. So it probably would be back to the mother, the matriarch of the family.
Mother's Day
would
be a big
house.
Yeah, so in short, that would be both hilarious, heartwarming, and culturally rounding to see.
Yep.
So moving along, another thing I would really like to see would be Ferengi Tax Day. Well, think about it. With Ferengis, it's all about what you own, what your commodities are. So Tax Day would kind of be like the culling of the herd, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be the day when you separate the boys from the men, not to, get patriarchal or anything, but that would kind of be like the day where you have to look back and see how well you handled your finances that year.
And instead of like a mythical figure of like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny, it would be the Liquidator. You would get a visit from the Liquidator.
That's the day the Liquidators get to shine. All hail the taxmen. Leave out milk and cookies for him.
And a few slips of latinum, just as a little side thing.
Under the cookies, just so he knows you're thinking about him.
Or you drop it into the milk, so he drinks the milk and then sees, as he's tipping the glass back, you see how many slips did they put
in? That's a grub worm. I just thought you could use protein. Wink.
We didn't really get to see any really cultural, like a holiday, a festival, or anything like that from the Ferengi.
No, we only really got to see them try to bank on other people's holidays.
Right.
Which is sad, because if they're such proud people, they've got to have at least a few good, really, really good holidays. And I think Tax Day would be one of them. Because on one hand, it would be like Pride Day, like, look how good we all did this year. We are the best. And then on the other hand, it could be like the lottery. And it's like, look who screwed up this year. Shame upon you.
Uh-oh.
And they'd like throw pennies at someone to shame them or what have you. I could see that too.
And we did see that they do, have some degree of commemoration or whatever, like when they die, they
sell
do
off
have
bits of their body in commemorative posters.
Yeah, and then in some of the episodes we hear about their, I don't know if it would be a religion so much, but
their
great material
system,
continuum. So I could see them doing some holidays and festivals and especially Tax Day. That would be a big thing. Like, how profitable have you been?
Tax Day would be like the Ash Wednesday to that Easter. It would be like the thing that follows up, like, but wait, there's hope! good times. Another thing I can never help but thinking about is how much I think the Ferengis would be into baby showers. That's not as much a holiday, but think about it. It's an event where there's food and celebration, but in order to get in, you have to give either monetary compensation or a further commodity promised to someone's unborn youth, thus securing at least a few material possessions to them before they're even born. Sounds pretty Ferengi to me.
Yep. And then you would see...
They probably dig the carrot cake. There's always carrot cake at a baby shower.
With tube grubs and beetles on top. But... And now you would see, the whole thing, there's always the different, family dynamics or politics of, social stuff. You would see maybe one person would only give a couple slips or, one thing, and then the next person gives, lavish gifts, and it's like, I see, who really, quote-unquote, loves this new child because they gave
someone
them more gifts.
Someone has earned the baby's favor. That kind of thing. It again, it'd be another sort of culling of the herd thing with your family. That would be a way to earn familial relations better, to make nice with the family and stuff.
There may be another layer to it where they, like, wager on how profitable the child will be later in life.
Yeah, or make bets on what gender the baby will be, or which parent it'll look more like, stuff like that. They'd find a way to make it interesting.
Yeah, we need more, Ferengi culture.
Yeah, I've been to enough baby showers that the whole thing seems kind of silly and materialistic after you've seen enough of them with the right people. It's just kind of like, oh, these people just really want the free stuff, don't they?
Yep.
They can get pretty ridiculous, and they seem pretty Ferengi to me.
Isn't that the thing where people will, like, register, and they're like, where are you registered at? And then they kind of do a wish list.
It is one of the things you will register for. Yeah, you can register for that, weddings and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. Thank God I'm forever immature and don't have to deal with any of that.
Yeah, same here.
God willing. So moving along, another cultural event that I think would probably be a thing in the future. This is one that I really think could take off. Bear with me here, David. Space Coachella.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Hosted by those jerks from The Way to Eden.
Oh,
yeah,
Tiburons, or oh, I used to. What? Why am I blanking on? But yeah, you know, the space hippies talking about we reach. Yeah, brother.
Those holier than thou space hippies, they'd totally do the Coachella thing, and they'd be too douchey to just handle it in like one town or whatever. So it'd be a planet wide thing, and the planet would only be usable once a year because they would leave it such an awful mess afterwards.
Oh my God, it would be horrible, yeah. So much
and people
you know,
would come
and
from
trash.
All the way across the galaxy to prove that they're not a Herbert.
We are not Herbert. We reach.
No, I'm not Herbert. I'm hip. I went to Coachella, man.
You'd have all the different cultures and races trying to, you know, sending their musicians with their crazy instruments and...
Yeah, trying to do it. Universally cool.
There would be so many space drugs going on there.
Right. They'd have like all of those spitting flowers that a Spock got hit in the face with. Oh man! And it would also be an interesting way to take a look at perceived counterculture in the Star Trek universe, because we don't see a lot of that in Star Trek. We see culture, we see the culture of the people, but we don't get to see a lot of people going against the grain culturally. And when we do, it's really out there. It's like Cybok. That's pretty much the most we get.
Yeah. And so a lot of times, like, you know, what would be the word? Like, disgraced by the main society, not just a counterculture where like the goth kids are, they're accepted. They're not like outcasts. They're not, you know,
they're
exiled off the planet.
So it would be interesting to see different cultural degrees of that. And also, I think it'd be cool to delve into what different genres of music there would be in the future. What about dubstep?
There would be some Klingon opera going on.
But it would only be like the really hipster stuff that no one's ever really heard of.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of that, you would have the space hippies who are like perfectly matched to the event. But then remember when Spock, so refined, distinguished, he pulled out his Vulcan harp, and he was jamming with them while they played the bicycle tire thing. So you would have, like, you know, people saying, like you said, stiff, uppity type people, the one time of the year, it's like, I'm going to Coachella to prove I'm not so, you know,
it'd
stiff
like Burning
and
Man
stuffy.
For space, except
yeah.
Okay. I also think Space Burning Man would be really cool. Although I have no idea which culture would host it, because that's kind of the ultimate counterculture thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that might be
so expensive these days that it really isn't that much anymore. But that's a tangent for another time. Also, it would be interesting to see how they would portray the different music of different cultures, because we've only seen like little bits of that, mostly with Klingon opera. So, how could they go further with that? Would be really interesting.
Well, wasn't there one episode of Voyager? I think it was Voyager where like and it was like a alternate reality for Harry Kim or somebody, I forget, but there was basically like a reference to what would be Klingon heavy metal, but so you might get some of that.
Oh, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? It'd be like Norse-style heavy metal, except with Klingons. It would be so hardcore.
You know there'd be a crazy mosh pit in front of the Klingon metal, but...
Right, and everyone would bring their batleth with them to the show, and...
Pain sticks.
They'd put on their spikiest outfits. It would be amazing.
I was trying to think, aside from Coachella, what would be some of the big, you know, musical festivals that kind of go on all like every year or certain times? Like, obviously there was Woodstock, but that was kind of a one-time thing. I mean, there's been like, Festival?
About the Woodstock.
Yeah, that was, there was no second Woodstock.
What are you talking about? We don't.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think back. I mean, over the years,
there
there's
could be
been,
like a space bumper shoot also.
Yeah, I know there's like the Monterey Jazz Festivals,
but space hippies at it.
But yeah, I mean, I could definitely see there being like, you know, cross-cultural, interplanetary, big giant music festival, because music is always, it's always been a big thing. I think it always will be, but you know, and then
I can never understand people who just say they don't like music. I mean, do you not like air? Do you just? Do you only eat food for sustenance? What is your deal?
Well, especially because there's
like
so many.
Music is such an international bonding experience. Also, I mean, it's something that so many cultures come together over. It would be interesting to see that on an intergalactic level.
Yeah, so much, you know, and you would probably see like
space,
you know, the counterculture. You would get like the dubstep, the heavy metal, the, you know, punk and all that. But then I think there would be a section of it where it is the traditional cultural music, you know, like a world music festival. Because like you said, it wouldn't just be in a city. It would be on an entire planet. It wouldn't probably
be, like,
just be
different segments for different musical types and stuff like that. Like there could
be
the classical,
you know,
camp, the modern camp, and all the different genres.
Well, because it wouldn't be over just a couple days or a week. It would have to be like a month-long thing, you know, expanded.
But that planet would be have, absolutely filthy by the end of the month. And then
it would pretty much take the whole year.
Or people who live there have to spend the rest of the year cleaning it for next year.
Right. Once they're finally finished cleaning, then it's time for the next one.
And
you would get Starfleet officers. You would get people saying, you know, requesting a month off because they have to go to the, you know, Coachella planet.
Oh, man.
I'm ready for it.
I think we've got a real that. Idea going here.
You know, like as NASA and some of the SpaceX and all those, you know, space exploration people, they're looking for an alternate secondary Earth for us to, you know, colonize and expand the human.
They really just want a spot for a space music festival, yeah.
Yeah, we got to find a moon or a planetoid thing just for that.
Moon would probably be a good size. And
oh, with less gravity.
With Ferengis trying to sell merch and stuff.
Oh my god, yeah. And concessions and merchandise.
$8 bottles of water and ridiculous stuff like that.
And if it's on a moon, you could have less gravity, so the, you know, the mosh pits and the dancing could be, you know, be kind of floaty up and, you know, less
it would
gravity,
make the
more
thing a lot more psychedelic. Oh, man,
I think that so, I think this one may be winning this episode, but we got a couple more of them.
We've got a few more, a lot more mellow, down to earth, as it were, ideas. One was Bajoran Independence Day, because after you've been occupied, you need a good Independence Day. They seem like the kind of people who would really dig that. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, well, when you've got an entire galaxy full of, you know, internal conflict, you're probably going to have a lot of different levels of Independence Days on different planets for different groups.
Yeah, well, I mean, just look at Earth. You know, we got all these Independence Days from all the different countries and cultures around this planet. So I could totally see, you know, having that, especially for them, because it, you know, it was a long occupation. They got hit really hard by their occupation. So to be free of it, to be, you know, thriving as a planet and a culture again, plus celebrating with the Federation, you know, new allies. Yeah, I could totally see Bajoran independence.
From a cultural examination standpoint, it would be really interesting to see how different cultures have their own sense of Independence Day and how they would develop their own traditions and their own means of celebrating based on their culture's unique story. So what if there was like a pan Independence Day where we celebrated all of the different types of Independence Days?
Oh, wow.
And it would be like mega Independence Day. Like how we mashed a bunch of president birthdays together for President's Day. It would be mega Independence Day.
They don't need their own birthday. Just put them all together.
Oh, we can't afford that many days off from school.
Well, how many presidents have there been? After a while, we run out of days.
The only problem with living in space and having so many different holidays would probably be, you know, there'd be so many more people who'd be the poor suckers with their birthdays on a holiday.
Oh, man, yeah. That would suck. Well, and then you would get the people that, you know, on both halves of it, like either extreme, you would have the person that wanted to celebrate every single holiday from every planet, from every culture.
Oh, yeah, the
culture.
Over-enthusiastic celebrator.
And like you have to decorate.
Who decorate for everything.
Yep, you have to decorate. You have to bake
a... If they were Federation members, they'd like feel like they had to celebrate every culture of every people in the Federation and go way over the top with it.
And you got to bake a food item from every planet and culture while you do that. And then on the other side, you would have the people that are like, screw that. There's too many. I'm not doing any of these holidays.
I don't celebrate anything. Denialists of space.
Yep. And then it's like, you know, you got to respect these cultures and celebrate. And they're like, screw that. I'm out.
Only looking out for me, man. That would be something funny to see on a future Star Trek series if there was one member of the crew who was super into every holiday.
Wearing
Although I guess
ugly
that's
sweaters.
Kind of what they did with Neelix, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess he would be. You'd have to do like Neelix times 10 for all the
super
different
Neelix.
Planets. That's
oh,
disturbing.
Oh, Lord, that's terrifying, yeah. Oh, Lord. Why did we say that?
I know. That took a weird turn.
We're going to purge that from our memories now by moving along to Beta Z Groundhog's Day. Because it'd be so much easier to figure out what the groundhog thinks if you can read its mind.
That's a better one.
That was my logic there.
Well, I thought it,
the,
when
the
I saw that,
pops up, you could just ask it.
I went into weird mind mode with that because I thought the day where you have to do the same thing over and over for like 3-4 days in a row, but that was a different groundhog.
No, I meant the holiday itself, not the movie about the holiday. As
right,
much as I love that movie, and I do. Although,
and that would probably be
if there hasn't already been a Groundhog's Day style episode of some Star Trek series, we'll probably see one eventually. Because every series does one at some point.
Wouldn't that be the one with Kelsey Grammer, where the ship keeps blowing up, and then
Right! They already have done it, yeah. That's a cross-cultural thing right there. Not the holiday of Groundhog's Day, but the concept of the movie of Groundhog's Day.
There you go. Frasier keep crashing into
they've
the Enterprise.
They've done it in Star Trek, they've done it on Xena, they've done it on Supernatural, they've done it on Stargate. It happens a lot.
Oh, wait, I think we have another one.
In the chat room right now that Betazoid Groundhog's Day would be the day where they see if Picard sees Luxuana's libido's shadow. If he doesn't, we get a full another season of Luxuana/Picard. Hello!
And I think it would be, you know, nude. You know, Beta Z weddings are nude. I think most Beta Z
find some way to make it creepily sexual.
Well, no, hold on. If the wedding is full nude, maybe that would be like that's a special day. So maybe other holidays would only be partially nude, like only topless or only bottomless.
Luxuana Troi is always overdressed, wouldn't it? She's saving her nudity for special occasions. That might have been one of the creepiest things I've ever said on this show. I don't know. Move on from that.
Do Vulcans
before the Groundhog's Day movie? So it could be a reverse thing.
Ooh, interesting.
Is it life or life imitating art.
A temporal causality loop of weirdness.
Damn, but son.
Do Vulcans do we ever see any Vulcan holidays? I think we had rituals.
Here are a few references to Vulcan holidays and rituals, but I'm just interested in how the Vulcans would take the concept of a holiday. I mean, when you're that stoic, you probably don't do a lot of merrymaking and such, so you gotta wonder what they would consider a holiday on a Vulcan.
A day for, you know, meditation or drinking.
They're old and rich culture, so you know they've got to have a few things like days and events that they consider sacred, but how would a Vulcan
commemorating Surok, the one that gave them logic?
Yeah, I mean, do they, like, fish out the good Lomik soup or what? How would they celebrate? Would they just sit and stare at each other? The only real...
remember with Spock with Valeris, remember he had that crazy glass and he was putting weird herbs into the tea and, like, you know, they shared the drink?
They save the good tea for their occasions. That's how they celebrate. They throw herbal. The worst holiday parties.
Special herbal blends of tea.
Yeah, they're a fun bunch, the Vulcans. And I want to say it was on Voyager that we hear a reference to an ancient Vulcan holiday where they run around naked, all greased up. So you gotta think, pagan Vulcans probably had a lot more fun before they discovered
how did
magic.
I not know that?
I don't know, I think it was just something that was mentioned really quickly. I only read about it on Memory Alpha.
I haven't seen, you know, some Voyager episodes I've only seen once, and I think there may still be some that I haven't seen because I kind of checked out in the middle part of Voyager and then it went back.
Yeah, there's always Voyager.
Yeah, but...
Unless you're a fan, then there's never enough. But yeah,
maybe,
you gotta wonder, I'm still wondering
there's
how...
There's like melding day where everybody melds, a big group meld. Instead of one-on-one, they do a big circle meld or something. That could be something.
The only thing I could really imagine them just going to town with would be Ponfar, and that would be a kind of in-home celebration, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You know, getting crazy with the two fingers together, but...
we're going to Ponfar tonight. I'm going to get the good candles out, and we're going to make a special herbal tea, and yeah, this is something worth looking forward to. Or they'd just be like, oh, yes, that's happening. Yes. This is happening. Well done. Goodbye. So yeah, as a culture, that's one way I felt like they weren't entirely rounded out. Like, because cultural celebration is kind of a universal thing, and we don't really get to see that happen with them. They aren't a very celebratory people, so it was something I was curious about.
Well, I mean, if we're going to look at them, it might not be a case of them, like, celebrating and like being festive and joyous and happy, but maybe more like a Veterans Day or like a day of memory, you know, like commemorating that something happened.
Every holiday is one of those really glum, stoic ones.
Yeah, where they have to sit and meditate for like 5 hours thinking about the event or the thing, the person, and, reflect on their impact and how they affected. I don't know. It kind of seems more Vulcan.
Really tedious.
Like, yeah, like, you know, 12-hour meditation session or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because you've been so good this year, we're going to meditate here in complete and total silence for the rest of the day. You really got.
What if they had... Do you think Vulcans would do something like an Olympics where it's like a physical endurance or physically, you know, exerting... Where it's not, you know, emotional, but, you know.
We do see that they like music, though, so maybe they'd have music festivals or what have you that would be like reverse Coachella.
Yeah, like classical, you know, Beethoven performances or something.
The opera festival and something super uptight like that.
And there's another, you know, thinking of, you know, how it would actually play out, we got another comment from the chat room. The hardest part about keeping track of holidays in a space-based culture is every planet would have its own day, month, year cycle. So it's like, and not everyone would line up, you know, because let's say we're still using we kind of see evidence that the Federation still uses the 12-month calendar in a way. And, you know, what if another planet has, you know, 15 months? How are you going to work that into celebrating on, you know, the 12-month calendar?
Jor is also a 26-hour day, so... Yeah, I wonder if they... do you think they'd come up with a universal calendar system or something? Or just, like, get alerts when it is that day on the planet specific to that culture, or what?
Yeah, I think that's probably how they would do it.
So...
They would probably just, you know, with the super space internet of the future, like the Federation, you know, communication network, they would probably just know that, oh, on this planet, they're celebrating their thing now, so we're going to, you know, do it at the same time as them, you know, and it may change, because we have holidays or things that are like the last Thursday of the month or whatever, so, you know, it could fluctuate or change depending on the calendar, but you would just track it for the origin, you know, the planet of origin. When they do it, then everybody just does it at the same time as them.
The future is going to be very dependent on calendar push notifications, I guess.
Yep. Oh, man, can you, and like that other thing about the overzealous person, you know, celebrating everything. Imagine it on your future next generation smartphone. It's just going to be beeping every other day. It's like,
hey,
it's,
would it's this their holiday. Facebook status so much.
Yep.
If it's we've like, learned anything reminder. From this episode, it's that there will be people who are hyper obnoxious in the future, and that Space Coachella would be amazing.
And then you would have the people, you know, even if you turn off, like, you don't want to hear about every day, like, you know, just Rigel 2 alert, you know, reminder, Rigel 2 festival tomorrow, and then the next day it's something else. So you turn that off on your phone, but then you would have that overzealous coworker or person saying, don't forget,
like,
are you coming over?
Director on your ship or something. Oh, great, that guy.
And then you would get so many, like, you know, they would always send out invitations like, RSVP, are you coming to my celebration tomorrow? Like, no, I'm not going to be there.
I went to one of his parties and now he won't stop inviting me. God. Go to one Bajoran gratitude festival and you're in for life.
And now you're also expected to bring something for the huge potluck. Like, what are you going to bring this year? It's like, nothing.
I figured I'd make an instant blood pie or something.
Yeah, I'll bring the plates, paper plates. I don't know.
Because it's hard to really half-ass it with a multicultural celebration, isn't it? Especially if it's an intergalactic cultural celebration.
And the weird thing, like, on one celebration, like, you know, one thing would be expected of you, but then on the next celebration that same thing would be like offensive to the next race.
Yeah.
So you have to always, like, what's the etiquette? What am I having to do or not do? What do I have to wear?
So you can't have like an old standby. You have to adjust it for appropriateness every time. Man, that sounds rough.
That would be, you know, a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
What do you think of, we've seen a couple, like, I just thought also, the next one on the list, we have down Memorial Day.
Yeah. Like, of course, with a group like the Federation and with Starfleet, we see a lot of battles. We see a lot of major losses for the Federation as a community. You got to wonder which ones would really stand out and would be worth memorializing, which is, I know, kind of a somber way to tie things up, but it's another thing I was curious about. Like, would the first major attack by the Borg, would that be like Pearl Harbor Day to them in the future? Stuff like
I mean, yeah, we've seen like in the novels and some of the story, they still like remember and mark on the calendar like the Battle of Sector 001, which was, you know, and then also like Wolf 359 when that happened. So it would be almost similar to, like, you know, Pearl Harbor Day, or like, you know, when they remember the Iwo Jima, you know, like all these different, you know, things. And so I could see them having, if it wouldn't maybe not be a holiday, but like a memorial or commemorative day for those things. But like, I could definitely see that being tied into the big, like, you know, Memorial Day, where each time, you know, before the Dominion War, they would have been, you know, remembering the past things. And then now that the Dominion War happens, they're going to add that, you know, onto the Memorial Day. And so I could definitely see that with, you know, because there's going to be, even if we are evolved and Earth itself doesn't have any more wars in the future, you still are going to deal with the Klingons and the Romulans and this one.
There's going to be more tragic events to memorialize further we go into the future.
Right. There's, if you know, especially with other races and cultures out there having conflict, and then even accidents like when the Challenger shuttle, you know, tragedy happened, people are going to remember that. And so I could definitely see a Memorial Day, you know, type of thing. But that made me think, what else have we, could we think of, you know, that's already established continuing that far into the future? And then I remembered we saw a glimpse of Christmas in Generations when Picard is in the Nexus and he's doing the whole Christmas thing. And then on an original series episode, Kirk mentions Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he says it's Thanksgiving down on Earth, you know, and our people up here on the Enterprise, if they're, you know, they're going to replicate their food, but he wanted it to at least look like turkey. So like, so in a way we could say we have canon examples of Christmas and Thanksgiving continuing. So that could, you know, by extension, we could think, okay, well, there's probably still Hanukkah. There's probably still, you know, some of these other things.
Mention the Hindu festival of Diwali. So there are a lot of cool things that just keep going. Which is kind of nice to think about, that there are parts of culture that even that far into the future aren't forgotten about.
Right, especially if it is tied to a culture or to a religion, even that may not be fully in terms of a religion. It may not be practiced, or it may still be practiced that far in the future, but people would still remember it, and you know, some would still celebrate it. But then that made me think, like, what else would they still do? Valentine's Day for like, or an evolved, modified version of like the romance love special day? You know, for that. So it's like, I don't know.
Ferengi would be all over that too, though.
Well, they're going to market on pretty much everything.
They're going to be like a greeting card company of the future.
Yep, little knickknacks, little cards, special. And you would have to buy like the 2013, the 2014. Like every time they would get the same product, just stamp a new year on it. Like, oh, it's $23.75 now. But so there are some holidays and things that I think should be continued on from, you know, from our, you know, reality, our current time and into the future. And so you'd probably get that for other cultures. But I mean, what do you think we should carry on? And I think some could understandably like kind of fall away and not be as a big of a thing, or maybe only on Earth. But like in terms of spreading out,
every culture is tasked with the task of holding on to itself and keeping its own culture and traditions alive. So, if we did reach a point in the future where the planet was unified as planet Earth, we'd have to worry about which culturals would, which cultures would kind of be lost in this sense of unification and coming together, whether we would lose anything in the act of coming together as a culture, what would be compromised? And that's something you have to wonder about. And that's something that kind of frightens me to think about, because
that may happen to some degree or for some cultures. But, I mean, look at it now. We've seen more, like, other cultures that would still either celebrate or just acknowledge, like, Chinese New Year or, you know, some other things where maybe coming together as a unified planet might bring some of these more to the forefront and more people celebrate it instead of just that culture. So I think it could go either way, maybe, or a little bit of both.
You also have to kind of worry about when, if we would risk appropriation through unification also, is another thing that is kind of an unnerving thought. But again, it's every culture's responsibility to hold on, to keep its own traditions alive. So we can only really hope that people will either learn how to carry on their cultures or learn to carry on the parts of their culture that they personally hold dear in their and pass it along from generation to generation. Or L'dor V'dor, as they say in Hebrew. That's one part of my culture I learned.
But some things would definitely be tied to like a religion-based holiday or celebration.
And if
Other things would be like cultural, but I think like in a way like Veterans Day or Memorial Day, I don't really see those being something that is tied to just one culture. I mean, maybe.
And that's true. And like America-based holidays would probably become a little less relevant if we're unified as an entire planet culturally. That would seem right. That would make that would just make it irrelevant, when it would need to find a way to either make it apply to all of Earth, or it would just be a very specific, like, micro holiday, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm kind of thinking of it in terms of, like, if we, the idea of, like, okay, Earth is unified now, there's, like, you know, everybody's made peace, and, you know, we're not in competition, we're all cooperating and all that, then the idea would become, does that mean there still is America, Mexico, you know, all these places, they're just friendly now?
We have to talking about his Native American culture, so he at least can think that there are parts of culture that people still hold on to, or would like to think so.
Or would there, does unifying, becoming a global peace, you know, one thing, mean that those country boundaries are kind of dissolved and now it's just Earth? Because I could see it where in the Federation time, it's like, you know, it would almost be like, on this day, America had independence from England. And on this other day, you know, the Mexicans celebrated their independence from that. It wouldn't necessarily mean, like, we're going to forget those days now or those historical
incidences. Right, but at the same time, through incidences, unification, there is the risk of appropriation. And that's again, a scary thought. Like, what parts of our culture that we hold on to personally will just be considered, like, an Earth thing, instead of, like, a specific culture of Earth's thing? We're getting pretty heady here, aren't we?
Well, but, I mean, but that's something that, you know, as we go forward, we're, you know, already we're seeing how more global everything is compared to, like, 50 years ago or, you know, because we have the internet, we have, you know, all that, but as we go forward,
people
but
in America
still
celebrate Chinese New Year, and like you said earlier, so.
But the thing is, it's like the appropriation is definitely an issue, but I still think, like, people are still saying it's Chinese New Year. It's not just saying, oh, it's New Year. You know, they're still recognizing that everybody is celebrating this thing, but they're still recognizing the origin and the, you know, what it means, the history of it. So I think that might be where it becomes kind of a good thing, where it's not just like David celebrating, you know, oh, it's my birthday or something, or that's a bad example, but like
it would be all of us celebrating David's birthday together in honor of David.
But everybody recognizing where it came from, what it's really about. And so instead of just like, you know, some tiny little country that no one's really heard of saying, we're celebrating our formation or our independence, now the whole world will be going, hey, look, that country, you know, they had a cool thing, and so now we're celebrating with them, but it's not like saying that's ours now. It's saying they are celebrating, so we're celebrating with them.
It's important to remember the difference. I'm just, I've still got it on the brain that a while back someone was posted a blog post about a really racist Chinese New Year party that was being celebrated somewhere in New York, where guests were encouraged to come in yellow face and stuff to celebrate, and
that's not good.
Why would you think that's okay? On DS9 when Jadzia suggested they have a Klingon party where everyone comes dressed as their favorite Klingon. You gotta wonder what culture is gonna do in the future. Again, you gotta wonder, the phrase of the week.
Yeah, there's definitely, I could definitely see that there'll be some, like, growing pains with that, and, you know, times where one culture thinks they're doing a honoring another culture, but the culture that is quote unquote being honored thinks that's not very, you know, cool for them to do that.
People on Earth have been doing that forever, so it's another thing you gotta wonder about. But at the same time, we can only really hope that there are ways that cultures can come together and celebrate, you know, together, which is actually why New Year is one of my favorite holidays. And it's always something that makes me happy and gives me a lot of hope for the future, to see all the cultures of the world coming together to say, we did it, we made it through a year. Let's be excited about what could happen next year.
Yeah.
And it, I think that's...
Well, then, New Year is going to be like another thing where so many different planets and have their own calendar system. It's like, it's New Year tomorrow. It's New Year again for this other people.
We're going to individually celebrate Klingon New Year and what have you.
It's New Year for... right, it's always
it's
happening Bajoran somewhere.
New Year. But, it's Klingon New Year. It's for Andy New Year. Buy a calendar.
But that's, you know, another aspect of it is in the future.
We can all celebrate in our own way, and we're all celebrating the same thing pretty much, even if we're doing it at different times, which is part of what makes it a wonderful act of unity. At least I think so. I could be talking out my butt here. I don't know. It's just a thing that makes me happy.
Yeah, I could see that. I definitely can agree with that. But I also think what we're kind of getting. What I started realizing is in the future, there's going to be a lot more excuses and reasons to party and to get drunk. And it's like, you're getting drunk again. Well, it's a party. It's New Year somewhere out there.
We're really
it's like, it's
to
another.
Party responsibly in the future, yeah. Especially on Zephyrin Cochrane Day.
Yeah.
Do your tequila shots responsibly. Responsibly. Well, on that note, I feel like that's a pretty good time to wish all of our listeners and everyone here on Trek Radio a Happy New Year. And Happy New Year, David.
Yep,
and
yep. Happy New Year to you.
And we're glad that you everybody. Stuck with us all another year, and we hope you stick with us for another one.
Yep, have a good, safe, prosperous, and awesome, honorable New Year. Yeah. Think back, like Honor Day. Think back
think
to
about
what happened
what this year has,
this
what
year.
You've done in this year. Yeah, we're interrupting each other again. That's what we do.
And go forward, you know.
And let's hope this coming year will be one in which you can live long and prosper. Cheesy, right? Isn't it great?
Yeah, well, that's the thing that happens when you get into, you know, commemoration and celebrating and, you know, everybody. Right, like,
we're taking the moment to be schmaltzy, though. We get to.
Peldor joy, everybody.
Peldor joy, David, and Happy New Year.
We got to have, that's another thing. There's going to be so many phrases like, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Peldor joy. We're going to have so many catchphrases and things to put on t-shirts and cards that you
really,
buy from the Ferengi.
Really, we go from talking about unity to what are we going to put on t-shirts in the future? Which phrase
that's
is going
to be? We're going to have to, you know, learn the new phrases and honor everybody in their, and, you know, Feliz Navidad and, all this. I'm just, you know, that's another fun thing is the multicultural aspect and more, you know, people getting involved and, embracing new cultures, new experiences. But yeah, I'm happy and it's been a good year. Hopefully the next year will be, you know, as good and better.
We've got a lot planned, so we've got a few tricks up our sleeves, and we can't wait to share them with everyone. And I think that's a good place to finish off for today.
Yep, sounds good.
Happy New Year, everyone. Thanks for listening.